Let's go to Lansing. Michigan High School Athletic Association Executive Offices. Mark Ewell is the Executive Director. Their Executive Council has met the last 2 days. And, Mark, what's the latest when it comes to high school sports here in Michigan?
Well, our board is ready to move forward. It's time to compete. Our teams have been practicing for the last week. And in those parts of the state where we can compete, our board green-lighted that today. So in Region 6 and 8, soccer and volleyball and swimming and diving can go ahead and begin competition tomorrow following all of the guidelines and requirements for schools in those Phase 5 areas. For the remainder of our schools in those moderate-risk sport groupings, we're still waiting on more direction from the governor's office. We've been in communication for the last 2 weeks. The communication continues to be respectful and professional, but currently, based on executive order language, our school gyms and pools can't be open yet for practice and competition, and based on the language in some of the executive orders, we're not able to compete yet. So they clearly know our concerns and the communication. We understand that that is going to be addressed within the week, and once that gets addressed and we're able to compete, we're going to do so. I think, you know, what our board grew a little tired of today is for us to kind of be the windshield for all of the blame and the criticism when, you know, us as an organization, we were responsible for creating the how are we going to return to play safely and putting together those guidelines. And, you know, for us to be able to do things and compete, it's got to be able to comply with all of the executive orders. So we're just, again, we have complied with every executive order. I think we're about the only level of high school age sports and below that has been following most of the rules. It's certainly ice hockey and soccer, you know, are a couple of those sports that have also done a good job over the summer. But, you know, we followed every executive order. We're going to continue to comply with all future orders because we're going to do the right thing here. But, you know, during a pandemic, you just can't make decisions in a vacuum and say, well, this is what we're going to do. There has to be coordination here with, and Bill, this is no secret. You and I have been talking about the communication that we've had with state health department officials and the governor's office going back to April. So I think what, you know, folks who actually take time and read the release today will understand is that the areas that we can control, we are ready to move forward. And hopefully, you know, some government action here will follow soon that will allow all of our kids across the state to compete in soccer, swimming, and volleyball, in addition to cross-country golf and tennis, which have been green-lighted to go.
So from your release from the Michigan High School Athletic Association office here within the last hour, competition in boys soccer, girls swimming, and diving and volleyball in regions 6 and 8 in Michigan may begin as scheduled tomorrow with all public safety protocols being followed. All individuals not in active participation, players in the game, and officials must wear a face mask covering at all times, including substitutes, coaches, game workers, management, auxiliary, support staff, and limited spectators. Now in Region 6 and 8, the outdoor limitations are 25% of the venue capacity or 500, whichever is smaller, and includes all persons. In Region 6 and 8, the indoor gymnasium limitations are 25% of the venue capacity or 250 individuals. In Regions 1 through 5 and 7, competition in boys soccer, girls swimming and diving, and volleyball may begin, as you mentioned, upon the issuance of future executive orders permitting soccer competition and opening of indoor school facilities for volleyball and swimming competition. Under current executive orders, these three sports in Regions 1 through 5 and 7 in Michigan may continue to practice outdoors under published protocols, but may not compete with these six regions. Schools could travel. I found this interesting, Mark. Schools could travel into Region 6 and 8 and compete based on the guidance above. And my first thought was, could two teams from Grand Rapids go rent a gym in Region 6 or 8 and drive up north and play, or four teams did a mini tournament, would that be legal under your high school guidelines?
I think a more reasonable example, and of course we have limited, you know, the number of schools that can be in an invite or a tournament. I mean, that was, again, part of the, you know, and Governor Whitmer with the Michigan Safe School Roadmap to reopen schools, that was, you know, part of the guidance that we created with that. I think a more reasonable example, Bill, is that, you know, you've got a school that's, let's say, in the Traverse City area where they can compete, and now let's say that you've got a school that's just outside of that area. Well, yes, they can travel to Traverse City, and they can be in that three- or four-team weekend tournament. Whatever that case may be, it could be just a dual soccer match to where somebody's going up and playing somebody in the Traverse City area. So the ant, because that's a very logical question. Now, you know, could two schools go up there and rent a gym? Well, that, you know, certainly the executive orders are what they are. We would just you'd have to comply with that. You know, I think the challenge is to find schools that are willing right now to rent indoor facilities when we're trying to get back to activity as safely as we can. I think brings about some other issues, but no, the most likely scenario is, you know, with volleyball or with swim or with soccer, that, you know, schools that are hosting right now in those two regions, they absolutely can compete and play, and that can involve schools from other regions. But of course, we've limited the number of schools that can be at a location based on the COVID guidance.
So you could get a, you know, Farmington, Michigan school, you could get a St. Joe, Michigan, Muskegon, Oak Ridge, whatever it is, they could go up and play in a tournament, play in a game that would be boys soccer, swimming and diving and volleyball, boys or girls, and that would be within whatever the executive orders. It's kind of like us. If we want to go up north and the movie theaters are open in those regions, you can do it, but you can't see a movie in regions 1 through 5 and 7. I think that follows the same executive order for any high school teams in Michigan. There could be a lot of people on the phone right now, Mark, calling high schools in Region 6 and 8. They really could be.
But again, and I understand that, but that's outside of our control. We have a set of rules in one part of our state and a different part in the other. So what we've tried to do here is try to create opportunities for kids. And we've talked about that return to activity, that return to normalcy, and we're simply doing that, making sure that we comply with all current law. Now, I'm certain that schools in those areas that you identified, if they're going to travel, there's obviously a lot of thought and decision that goes into that. The reason that we believe at the high school level that us, more so than anybody, can do this safely is most of our competition here is local. It's Michigan schools against other Michigan schools. I'm not going to deny the fact that some real challenges come about with this when you've got, you know, two parts of our state, you know, under one set of rules and other parts of the state under another. So I'm sure we'll be answering lots of questions. We'll try and certainly help schools work through that. Yet just another example of when folks out there, well, what can I do to help? Well, let's all continue to do the right thing, so hopefully we can get our entire state to when we're, you know, we take that next step forward to where we can now do things indoors and outdoors with the numbers that the two regions up north can do right now.
You know, based on following the executive orders, you look at the private schools, most of them are doing face-to-face full instruction, and they could have a huge advantage of already being in school and parents comfortable with things, where they may go venture north. And you're right, for a school to tell their team, yeah, it's okay to go play Traverse City West for the sake of this conversation, there's still a lot of thought and process where a school district that may not even have even opened their doors, I doubt they're going to allow any of their teams to travel. That's just my guess.
It is, and I think that's very accurate to say. And then, of course, you know, the other thing that I'm anticipating, and I've already gotten a couple of notes, because, again, the news hasn't been out there that long, but, you know, there's now some heartburn about those schools that are in those up north regions about having a potential advantage to where they are able to compete and able to play, and, you know, the other six regions in their state are waiting. Well, I've never heard our up north schools complain when spring sports starts for the fact that based on their weather, together, they are almost 3 and 4 weeks behind in many years what the more downstate schools are in terms of getting their kids outdoors on the track or on the softball field or on the girls' soccer field to play. So we understand that, you know, some might see this as, well, gosh, you know, the schools up north are getting an advantage. That isn't something we hear very often. It does work in kind of the opposite realm when it comes to spring sports, just based on the weather. And since we started talking, Bill, back in April, we've been very consistent that by saying when it's safe to play in those parts of the state where we can, we're going to move forward, and that is what our board did today.
And it's based on the executive orders from the governor's office. It's not based on Michigan High School Athletic Association rulings. These are following the active executive orders and also future executive orders. So just to refresh for those joining in, Mark Yule, executive director of the MHSAA, is joining us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. There's a lot to update, and we'll get to all of it. Competition in boys soccer, girls swimming, and diving and volleyball in Region 6 and 8 in Michigan may begin as scheduled tomorrow. Now in Regions 1 through 5 and 7 in Michigan, competition in boys soccer, girls swimming and diving, and volleyball may begin under the issuance of future executive orders. The teams can maintain their practice protocol they're doing right now. Is that correct?
And that's
the
region, correct.
So, regions 1 through 5 and Region 7 in Michigan.
Everything that we've heard is, you know, kids need the ability to be part of a team and to have some normalcy. And so for us to have said in those parts of the state that can't compete yet in these three sports, well, let's just stop everything and let's wait and see if executive orders are going to change or are going to be updated, which, again, we've had good communication with the governor's office, and in our most recent communication, we've heard that something is going to come out here within the week. So while we wait, let's continue for that mental health aspect of everybody to have those kids continue to get together, to continue in work. Granted, it still has to be all outdoors, which is not ideal, but given that we're still in the middle of a pandemic, I just think for all of those social and emotional issues, it's best to have our kids with their school coach, and that's what we're doing.
The conversations with the governor's office on what you can tell me and the people listening right now, what have you asked for to open up? Have you asked for a ruling or order on gym space, on playing games? What exactly has the Michigan High School Athletic Association asked the governor's office for?
So it's been ongoing conversation where things have really certainly picked up is over the last 2 weeks. And, certainly the outstanding issues and the current issues that we have are just that whole status of indoor school facilities. You know, especially now when we've got many of our schools that are having kids back in the buildings face-to-face either every day or on some sort of a hybrid. You know, right now there's a little bit of a conflict to where, you know, it's safe to have those school buildings open and to have class in the gym during the day, but a group of, for example, 12 volleyball players in a volleyball practice, or, 15 swimmers in the pool indoors to practice, that currently isn't allowed in parts of our state. So again, there's no blame here. It's as, Governor Whitmer, with all of the executive orders that she's had to issue here, being in the midst of a pandemic, you just create some conflicts, and now as the school year starts, and well, how does the law really cover what sports can and can't do? They understand that there's an issue there, and like I said, we've been told that within the week we'll have more guidance. But by the same token, our board, I think today, our patience was running thin, that for us to continue to be the windshield and to take all the criticism for something that appears to be our delay or our indecisiveness, the fact of the matter is we've had a pretty clear plan all along, and as we've moved forward with that plan, you've got to be able to work with others to make sure that we're doing the best here for everybody, and that's why we're sharing what we're sharing today.
And speaking of sharing what you are sharing today with the media, with schools, with coaches, with the sports moms and dads and the student athletes and everybody across the state, from your press release within the hour, beginning on Monday, August 24th, which would be this Monday, out-of-season football, because football has been moved to spring, is allowed 16 voluntary coach-player contact days with more than four players, with helmets only until October 31st. And I think that's a great move to help these football programs, almost give them a fall/spring-like football getting ready for the season after the first of the year.
It is. And so, obviously, they're, other than just helmets, which that's allowed with most summer activity. But, you know, what we've heard, and by the way, Bill, this isn't just football, that starting on Monday, for schools that do allow this to take place, for football, starting next Monday, from next Monday till the end of October, they have 16 contact days. So our current out-of-season rules is that coaches can work with four players at a time. But given the fact that football has been postponed, so starting on Monday through the end of October, you now get 16 contact days to where coaches can be working with kids. There's no contact, obviously no shoulder pads, but what they're able to now do is continue to get their kids together, because we've heard, since we had to postpone the competitive part of the season, but what we've heard is all of the mental health issues and in the how can we keep kids together and how can we continue just to make sure that our kids have access to our school coaches and not some of the other non-school programs that are getting ready to pounce. And our board thought that this was certainly the right move to make. It's equally as important that the Tuesday after Labor Day, so on September the 8th, the same concept of contact days kicks in for all of our spring sports. Remember, that was the group of sports last spring that lost an entire season, other than almost a full week of practice that was indoors. So with our spring athletes, who in many cases didn't get a chance to practice much or certainly competed all last spring, so they're also going to get 16 contact days in September and October, where, again, coaches can have some practices. You can actually get out on the baseball field with your school kids and be able to work on things. And so we thought that by the 16 days, when you really spread those over 2 months, and in football's case, a little bit over 2 months, it's also going to allow your multi-sport athletes, I'm a football player and I also play a spring sport, it allows you to get some work and some contact and some connection with your two coaches in those sports to get ready for the football season that'll happen, in kind of our spring one season next year. More details, we're still working on what that looks like, as well as what next spring does. So I think our council certainly, the issues of competition in soccer and swim and volleyball are getting most of the attention today, but what I also think here is critical is what our council did for our football kids and coaches, as well as our spring kids, giving them kind of a framework where they can get some work done this fall safely, following all the safety protocols. And I think we're really just making sure that we've got that net there for our kids, just from that emotional and mental health standpoint.
And by the way, the Michigan High School Athletic Association, given an alteration on their normal four-person limit, which will stay in place for winter sports in the state of Michigan, football beginning on Monday, which would be August 24th, they will have 16 voluntary coach-player workouts with no contact, no pads, football contact, helmets only until October 31st. And then all spring sports, which I think is a fabulous move by the Michigan High School Athletic Association Executive Board. All these spring sports that barely had practice time, maybe just tryouts, they all can get together starting September 8th after Labor Day, which gets the vacations, everything out of the way. 16 voluntary out-of-season coach-player contact days, more than four players until October 31st. So that will put, basically every kid playing sports, even with this pandemic, Mark. And this is where I applaud you for all the grief you're taking. And it won't be bugs hitting a windshield. It might be something that is a little bit browner than bugs. But you're allowing every student athlete, including sideline cheer, which we'll comment on in a moment in terms of contact there. You're basically allowing every student athlete grades 9 through 12 to have something going on in fall, whether they're online or in school, if that school permits, correct?
That's correct. Again, it's part of it is the sports part of it, but Bill, the bigger reason is just that connection and contact to a group to where we're in a time where we just have to kind of support each other here, and this is something that we heard loud and clear from our schools.
And by the way, though, you cannot scrimmage other schools. You could scrimmage amongst your team, right? Basically, you're saying you can't scrimmage other schools. Is that correct? And without football equipment, I'm talking, and other things, you can work out only amongst your team.
That's correct.
All right. The sideline cheer, don't want to forget about that. A lot of cheer parents out there. That also was listed in your press release. What is the latest there in Michigan?
So sideline cheer, which isn't a sport that we have a tournament for, that our sideline cheerleaders, because, again, our cheerleaders put in just as much work in terms of conditioning and getting ready for the season is what certainly other sports do. So they're going to be able to continue their activities here through the fall until they hit their normal preseason downtime, which comes on the 23rd of October, as they then get ready for their competitive season, which is in the winter with competitive cheer. So that just is yet another group of kids that, if the school permits, we're allowing kids to get together with their coach, continue to practice. Continue that emotional and social well-being. So we gave that same allowance to competitive cheer or sideline cheer in the fall as we did to football as well as our spring sports.
Mark Huell, the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, is joining us here on the Huell Show across Michigan. A comprehensive update when it comes to fall sports, even stretching into some of the spring and winter teams in terms of new guidelines. You even touched on the MHSAA junior high middle school regulations allow fall sports practices to begin on Monday, October 24th at school facilities. If the school permits, with all stated safety protocols being followed, schools may proceed in all middle school sports except football this fall based on decisions of leagues and or individual schools. So with those middle school football teams, and I think this will be a big question for every school district, junior high, middle school, 78ers, whatever it is, would they be allowed to work out in practice but not play games minus shoulder pads?
So right now we've just addressed it at the high school level with those contact days. Again, with more guidance coming over the next week, there should be more information about football activities in general, whether it deals with youth, whether it deals with middle school age kids, and then if it even deals with some of the non-school football that might try and crop up. We'll see how next week goes with that information that we get from our state government leaders.
All right, one of the final points you made in the press release on the updated guidelines for high school sports here in the state of Michigan, you have your regulation that states a student has only one football season in a school year. For example, if a student participates in fall football in a different state, that student would be ineligible for a second football season in the spring here in Michigan, even if an exception to the transfer rule were met. So you're trying to keep kids from going and living with a friend or something and playing football with another state and then coming back to Michigan in the spring.
Or trying that. And that's not a new rule. That has been our rule for a long time, that you get one football season in a school year. And what it would do is certainly for kids that try and move out of state and play somewhere else this fall, if those seasons are able to happen, you couldn't then come back and have a second one. Nor could kids who just happen to live in other states where they are going to play football this fall and then think, well, now let's move to Michigan in the spring so we get a second season. Again, that's not a new rule, but just something in this communication with our schools, we believed that just a question that needed to be answered before folks inquired about it. So not a new rule, but I think an important clarification for everybody.
When you mentioned that it's wide open for sports, the minus football in the state of Michigan, for other sports, what will be interesting is people who have that second home in a region 6 or 8, and probably more region 6 in northern Michigan, could they actually move their kids up to that school for a semester to play that sport they might be missing in regions 1 through 5 or 7 here in Michigan?
be tough to pull off, because to meet that exception of the transfer rule, Bill, is the entire family unit would have to move, right, and that former residence would need to be disposed of, sold, rented to other persons, not family members. So just, now that, and what's interesting is we give this guidance, and then, of course, hey, what about this and what about that? And you understand that's where people's minds go, but to be able to meet an exception, it has to be a full and complete family move, and then you wouldn't have any ability to come back and be eligible later on. So some real challenges there.
Yeah, I doubt anybody's ever tried to circumvent Michigan High School Athletic Association rules. I'm just guessing that's never happened, correct?
It has not, so that is incredible.
All right, I have a question from some listeners on 107.3 and AM 920 WMPL up in Houghton Hancock, Calumet, literally maybe the northernmost part of Michigan. They're asking about spring football, and I know you haven't come up with an announced plan yet, but they're wondering, if practices are going to start in March. Snow doesn't melt usually until July 4th there on the Keweenaw Peninsula. Your thoughts on, we talk about these advantages, disadvantages, situations, how big our state is from, the Ohio border all the way up until, the western UP of Minnesota. High school football in the spring in the Upper Peninsula, how do you answer that?
I guess let me talk about the process that this will go. So we have talked about concepts with our full board, with the representative council. Our next step is we're going to put together a small group of our staff, the leadership of our Michigan High School Football Coaches Association. We have a great relationship overall with that group, and their leadership will be at the table as these discussions take place. And then also we'll have a couple members of our board. So we'll get together a small ad hoc group, and this is going to happen quickly, within the next probably 2 weeks. And we want to come up with two plans, two different ways to do it, and then our next step would be to take that out to our schools and get their feedback. So you figure 2 weeks for our small group to start on that, within another week of feedback from schools, and hopefully we'd be ready to have a plan and put that in place certainly by the middle, or if the absolute latest, by the end of September, because I think it's important for people to know the plan. And I'm sure and by the way, Bill, no plan will be perfect. There will be certainly, what we're trying to do is thread that needle of trying to find the right window to where football can give kids that great experience that it needs to with the number of games. Also be able to have some kind of a culminating postseason event, but doing so without really impacting winter and spring. So as you put this down on paper, there certainly is going to be some impact, but I do think there's a way we can do this and to be able to keep all three of those seasons as happy as we can, just based on our weather and the geography that we have to play with. So I'm not even going to speculate yet on what those could look like. I just know that at first this needs to start with our Football Coaches Association leadership at the table. It then next goes to our schools for their review and their feedback. And then once we have that plan in place, Bill, I'm sure we can dive into the details, you and I, here with all your listeners, a few weeks down the road.
I have some golf parents and cross-country parents who are concerned. Yes, golf and cross-country are into their full fall schedules. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that there's nothing that they haven't heard golf or nope. Cross-country, and they're worried, is it canceled? No, it's not.
No. All of the low-risk sports, those were, we got the green light for those to move forward. That has been the plan. They started practice on time. They started competing on time, and that there's been no change to cross-country golf and tennis.
By the way, we're going to leave on a high note here with Michigan High School sports underway, that her name is Lily Henkel from Grand Rapids Forest Hills Northern in the Muskega Mona Shores event at the Stonegate Golf Club in Twin Lake near Michigan's west coast, just north of Muskegon. She shot a 12 under 60, Mark. 12 under 60.
It's amazing.
On her card, Lily Henkel out of Grand Rapids Forest Hills Northern High School. Wow.
One stroke away from a 59, from that magic number of breaking 60. That's incredible.
Yeah, 60. I was looking at her scorecard that they posted at MLive.com, and I can say without hesitation, I've never seen a scorecard like that on my golf cart.
No, maybe for 9, but certainly not for 18.
Hey, slow up, Mark. I've had your back here today. Don't start riding my golf game, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
See you, Bill.
Yep, Mark Ewell. I thought his tone when he said the executive council has been taking the hit, they're just following what the governor's doing and state health officials. And when I look at what they just released, and we'll have that complete release up, Superfly will put it up momentarily, along with Mark Ewell's interview at thehugeshow.net if you missed any of it or you want to share it with anybody across Michigan. I think that plan they just released is as good, if not better. I know the regions 1 through 5 and 7 in Michigan, you're going to have to wait on girls volleyball, wait on girls swimming and diving, and wait on boys soccer, but they're allowing practice to continue. Now, it's pretty cool. I got a daughter who's going to be a sophomore. She can practice volleyball and practice with her spring soccer team this fall for a couple of months. And that'll be great for her and a lot of other daughters and nieces and granddaughters across this state. And the way it sounds from Mark's conversation, from their release, that they're still not pushing, but working with the governor's office and state health officials to get a ruling in regions 1 through 5 in Michigan and 7 to try and get the gyms open for volleyball and for girls swimming and allow soccer games. So that's the navigation, because in Michigan you can't play soccer games yet. Like my son in his club soccer, they're practicing. They're practicing social distancing. I'll give MSA, Michigan Sports Academy, a lot of love for, they have a rigorous system in place to protect the kids, and they've had no outbreaks. But there's still hope. So if you're living or listening in regions 1 through 5 and 7, regions 6 and 8 in Michigan, you're off and running with your season tomorrow. If you're in regions 1 through 5 or 7, there still is hope with an executive order that your schedule in girls volleyball, girls swimming and diving, and boys soccer still could be played this fall.